B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to us by Querbelis Bakery and Deli. World-famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Ryan Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock as we wind down the summer days. Philly's back at it tonight. Finally, baseball restarts. Been a long time without baseball, man. You know, the one thing I will agree to, I've been going back and forth with Anthony on a text, I'd be willing to cut the season. Start the playoffs earlier.
Like when?
September. You don't need September baseball. Start the playoffs in September. Because there's summer, August goes boom right into September. You chop, what, 20 games off?
Yeah, you go down to like 142.
I don't know. I love September baseball.
Yeah, I don't. I would not do that.
What if you started it later? Started the season later?
Yeah, we got a lot of cold weather games.
How nice is the World Series in October? It's my favorite thing in the world.
It's been snow, though, in Boston and Chicago and Cleveland. Mm-hmm. When they've been good, it's been snow. I don't need snow baseball ever. It's supposed to be a summer sport. So, maybe you cut on both ends. Start a little later, end it a little earlier.
I'd be all right with that.
So, no cold on either end.
I'm flexible when it comes to that. I just don't want the game altered. Like, people want to alter the game. The game doesn't need altering. If you want to shorten the amount of games that they play, then fine. But, you know, like radical thing, like shorten it to 7 innings, or, you know, you're messing with the character of the game when you do stuff like that.
See, I wouldn't do any of that. But I do think that what I would do, which they would never do, is I would actually cut playoff teams. There would be no wild card. If I'm going to have 162.
That wild card's been good for baseball.
But I would be for this reason. I got 162, and it doesn't show me anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I want the 162 to tell me something.
Well, it's telling you something down the stretch.
Not really.
These wild card teams are yearning to get into the playoffs by playing well then the end of the season.
So then
they get that one spot.
Right, and then them teams get in, and many times they've won, and that 162 didn't mean anything.
No.
It's too many games to not mean anything.
I don't know. You keep your fans interested. Let's go to Doug in Germantown. Doug, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Doug.
Yo. What's up, Mike and Ben?
What's up, Doug?
Yo, how about Russell Westbrook to the Rockets, man?
Yeah, how about that? What does that do? Like, how's that help the Rockets?
How many Chris Paul Thunder jerseys are selling?
Well, he won't be there long. He won't play there.
Yeah, but
like you know, like Harden is a 40 shot guy. What are they thinking in Houston now and how that's going to work?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I was about to tell you guys some homage, though. I'm going through a rough period in my life right now. I'm actually homeless and on a burner phone right now, but I tune into you guys when I can at my local 7-Eleven. Plug my phone in, and the first time caller, long time listener, and just love all you guys. So hopefully things turn around, but just happy for the small time I have with you guys.
Yes, go ahead. What else you got?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I would sacrifice for a Sixers championship, I would absolutely give up drinking Four Loko. It's got to go.
You give up that Four Loko.
It gets
there. Did we get scammed there?
Yeah, he's
a real call.
No.
You wouldn't plug in a burner phone, would you?
No.
That was the faulty.
Yeah.
And narrative
in 7-Eleven.
In 7-Eleven.
Sev's not going to let you plug your phone in.
Yeah, you can buy it from. You can buy the
burner
from the 7-Eleven.
You don't plug it in.
Yeah, no, you don't plug it in.
Yeah, he's
got a battery, right?
No,
no. Hey. How's the burner work?
Oh no, it has a battery.
No,
charge it. You charge it like a regular phone.
No, you do.
Yeah, but they're not going to let you use the outlet.
Not Sev.
And you shouldn't be drinking. Well, you know what? Unless they want to spend money, they don't spend money. Four Loko, don't drink that.
Well, not any. It's different now.
Yeah. They'll don't. people were having a lot of trouble with those. Four Loko.
They were?
Yeah, back in the day when they first came out.
It's uppers and downers at the same time in a can, and people were having heart issues.
Big when I was in college. Yeah. I never had one. I was too scared.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a Four Loko. Let's go to AC in the Northeast. What's up, AC?
What's going on, guys?
Are you in a better mood today?
There's no more joking around. It's going to be the serious AC from now on. You know, try to joke and have fun with you guys. You guys don't like
the, Well, no, that wasn't really a joke. It was like you were out of order.
I guess I was. That was
but anyway, yeah, talk to me about Shake Milton.
I've been singing Shake, Shake, Shake songs since they signed him. I want them. I want them another great Tyrone Point. You got to have the young guys back in there. Can't bring in Livingston for what? I mean, he's washed up. Did you see the finals, what he did?
Yeah, but he is a playoff-tested backup point guard.
You know, you give the young guy a shot, and like Tyrone said an hour ago, you know, if it don't work out the first 30 games, then you go right ahead and you fly somebody in, maybe Livingston or somebody.
Well, Livingston won't be available by then.
No, well, then Korver, whoever you get. About baseball, you know, I think what they should do is I think that, you know, what you said earlier was right about as far as, like, the pitchers. They warm up, they throw, like, 150 pitches in the bullpen, and they come in. Why do they need those six other pitches?
They don't.
They don't need that. I don't think mound visits are necessary. You know, like, look, the only time you do a mound visit is when the manager or the pitching coach comes out and changes the pitcher. That's it. Why do you need to talk and have a conference for six different times? Remember the Yankees in the World Series in 09 against the Phillies? What's his name? Posada kept going to the mound every other pitch. I wanted to smash my TV set.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank God they changed that rule, and you know, you don't have that many visits anymore.
Yeah, that was a good change.
But like, don't you think, though, that they should just eliminate all mound visits except one when the pitcher has to come out of the game when the manager wants to take him out?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. You can convince me of these little things, these mound visits. They don't really mean anything to me.
Yeah, you don't need any of that stuff.
That's not changing the way the game is played by limiting mound visits. Like people say, you eliminate the shift. The shift is a great move, right? Until you can counter the shift, it's a great defensive adjustment.
Right, like if I'm like, I know you pay Bryce Harper a lot of money, a little bit too much money, but you know what, if I'm him for like a good solid, like, say, 8-9 bats in a row, okay, just try slapping the ball to the left side.
That's what they would have to do, but then you're saying, all right, you're playing right into our hands, because now all you're doing is slapping it the other way instead of drilling for a home run or a double in the gap. And which is, you know, but all you have to do it a couple times, and then the shift will be altered. But the shift is a great thing. I don't understand these people who think the shift is the devil. Defenses have adapted because of analytics and percentages on where guys hit the baseball to put their defense right there. It's like double team in the post, right? You do what you can to make it more difficult for the other team to score. That's in every sport.
Yeah, I'm fine with the shift. I think the game would be better to view without it, but you shouldn't get rid of it.
I love the shift.
Yeah, I don't like a hard hit ball right to a guy. 5 seconds, all right, go sit down. That's not fun to me.
Well, then
defensive plays
slap it
are
the
fun.
Other way. You got all this BP, right? Keep your hands inside the ball. Flip it the other way.
Yeah, I'm sure that nobody's thought of that. Like, there's a reason guys don't do it.
Yeah,
they can't.
Because they don't want to get out of their routine.
I think it's because they
don't
can't.
Want to alter.
It's hard to do.
It's not hard to do. Not hard to do.
Think it's hard to do?
It's really not hard to do. You're a professional hitter. It's not hard to do.
All right.
So wait a little longer. You get your hands inside the ball. You flip it the other way. You have to get a pitch that you can do it with. But as soon as there's a pitch that's there for you to do it, then do it. It's not that difficult. All right, let's go Pat Nambler. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Mikey, man.
What's up, Pat?
What's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Good. Hi, Ty. Hi, Nat. Hey, Mike. Are you excited for Sunday? Before I get in my flyer phone, are you excited for Sunday?
Am I excited for Sunday?
Yeah.
What Sunday?
Sunday, the Northeast High School native, Drew Golick, comes back to defend his WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Are you excited?
I haven't even thought about it, bro. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I guess you're not a wrestling loser like myself, but it's all right.
No, I didn't cross my mind. I'm actually going to the Phil's game Sunday.
And Mike, but I want to talk a little flyers with you, bud.
Yes.
I want to give you the poll since you don't know what's going on with the scene. I like the Flyers because they shook up the whole locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got rid of the Gudises and all the, you know, McDonald's of the world. But on the same token, I'm kind of down because they got Giroux still in the squad and Voracek, and it's kind of like they're kind of like the anchor of the whole from the team from going more success. Since you know they all they do is hover around that 8-seat spot. So I would prefer if they weren't on the squad. That's just me. And yeah, that's where.
So
I'm
you
at.
Would have, you would have changed the whole culture of the Flyers.
I want a whole new era of Flyer players here. I want to get rid of the old stuff. I know. You know, you're probably getting a text from Martinez getting rid of me now. But listen, I just want to get, you know, I just want a whole new scenery. I like Konechny. I like, you know, Provy. And I like Carter Hartsey. But, you know, it's time, you know, we need some more guys like that. And the Noel Patches of the world, we need more skill guys. Drew's okay, but he's not good enough. He's not an elite player. You know, that's what they need to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this with the contract situation of both of them, it's hard to make deals for them, and Drew has a no trade. So
I know, but like I said, until they move on from them, I can't. Like I said, I'm excited because you know we do have a real good, you know, a good, really good goaltender. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we can't move out of the first round of the playoffs if we get there.
Yeah. All right. So you're not that optimistic, man. And you're a Flyer fan. You're a hardcore guy, too.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I'm always decked out. Every fan fest.
Yeah, I wish that they would be coming into this season with a little more zing so we can, like, follow both teams. You know, because the Sixers are going to be on the grill, right? They're going to be hot stove the whole time. I wish the Flyers were counter. But it's not going to be that way. And that's going to make us forget more about the Flyers. All right, Matt in Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, what's up, Mike? How are you?
What's up, Matt?
Not too much. I want to call in about the Flyers here, give my 2 cents at least. Mm-hmm. From the previous caller, I think the biggest thing with this team is nobody remembers how terrible that last season was and being down at those hockey games and how uninspired that team was and just terrible it was to waste any money down at that place. And, you know, by leaving last season, even Martina said that the biggest thing they need is to make some major changes, shipping out a couple major players. They didn't do any of that. They brought in a couple scrubs defensemen. They got rid of a couple scrub defensemen. And then drastically overpaid for a center that hasn't proven himself in the NHL at all.
So the Chuck Fletcher era is not off to a good start as far as you're concerned.
No, I don't think so. I think we need somebody with some personality on that team to bring something into that locker room or do something a little bit different there. I mean, the team's just missing a personality. It's missing, you know, the demand that it used to have in the city of Philadelphia because there's nobody drawing any attention to it.
Yeah, well maybe it'll surprise you. Maybe Hayes will have a monster year. Maybe Vigneault will be a great coach. Maybe the goaltender carries them all the way. You know, they win like a defensive-oriented team like the Blues with a good young goalie.
It's tough. It's the same team as last year. It was the same boring team as last year. Watch.
Yeah.
Never replaced those people with the same type boring players.
Yeah. All right. Well, Matt, typical Flyer fans here, not excited. By the way, St. Louis Blues, where are we going to play this Tracy Morgan thing? You still have that?
Yeah, I'll bring it up. But yeah, I got it.
He mentioned St. Louis Blues first in his monologue.
Well, I don't know if we didn't pull the whole monologue.
Oh, you didn't pull that?
We don't have 15 minutes.
Oh, so like, do you have the part where he, was it necessary for him to humiliate Taj Gibson? Do you have that part of it? Where he said, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, and the Knicks got caught Taj Gibson. That's insulting to a guy, isn't it?
I mean, what's Taj Gibson doing at the ESPYs?
I don't think he was at the ESPYs, but just to say that make an example of the name is out of line, don't you think?
No.
No?
No. It was no.
Well, yeah, why would Tracy Morgan have to rip Taj Gibson because the Knicks acquired him?
Like,
Taj Gibson can't help that he's not Michael Jordan.
He was the most famous player the Knicks acquired.
I get it, but why put the spotlight on him as like he's a mutt? On national TV in your monologue.
I think I actually do have that part.
You do have that part?
He makes a Knicks joke.
And you were okay. I cringed when I heard that. I think most people in the audience cringed.
Nah, he's got to take that. Life.
Listen, we on Sports Talk Radio can say, oh, they got Taj Gibson, he's a mutt. You can't do it on national TV and making the guy an example of the Knicks' ineptitude.
Why?
It's just out of line.
I don't think it's out of line.
You don't think it's out of line?
All right,
let's hear if we had this part.
Hey, hey, this show is a celebration of the year in sports. So many amazing things happened. The St. Louis Blues, they won their first Stanley Cup. The women's U.S. women's soccer team won their second World Cup in a row. And the Knicks signed Taj Gibson. I'm excited. Hey, I got to take what I can get.
See, is that necessary?
Yeah.
If you're a Knicks fan. A smattering of applause for St. Louis Blues. He brings that up first. There was no applause, though. Nobody was excited about that at all.
He should have said it in South Philly.
He should have gone women's soccer, like right out of the shoe.
If he says in South Philly, they'd have been. They love the Blues.
But come on, man.
No, it's not.
Taj Gibson and you're watching that at home, how you feel?
He's talking about him as a basketball player. To me, if he talked about him like as a person, it's not then right. It's out of line.
Natalie, did you hear that? Was that out of line? You guys, have no solace at all.
I mean,
you saying this? You hit people worse than that.
I know.
Sports talk radio. I'm not like making it an example of them in on a national stage.
Well, they're just,
if this was a national show, you wouldn't talk about you still rip guys on a national stage.
But there's no reason for me to rip Taj Gibson individually because the Knicks signed him.
He's the most. He couldn't say Julius Randle because he's not a household name. So he said the guy who's closest to a household name that the Knicks signed. I have no problem with it at all.
I think it was wrong.
No, I don't think it was.
Jeff in Charlotte. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
I got a question for Tyrone. I want to know how serious he would be about giving up his car for a year to help his team win. Now, would he commit to giving up his car before they win? Because he feel that might tip the earth, as he says, to help his team win? Or would he?
Yeah, he would have to give it up before because he would have to first get the message from the God.
It didn't sound like that.
That's not
like
how the deals work.
Well, how would the deal work? If the God came down and said, if you give up your car for a year, this team will win, you would have to give up your car immediately.
You're not really like a fan, Mike. You don't have any fan in you. But people that are fans make deals like this, and you say, if it happens, then you'll do it. You don't do it ahead of time. Why not?
But if you feel that your team, your sacrifice would tip the scale.
Yeah, you would have to do it immediately.
You would have to do it before. Yeah. If you trust,
that's not how it works.
Yeah, because that's supposed to be helping the process of winning.
If the God said it to me, I would do it. But the way the deal works is, if it happens, I'll do this. You make the promise. That's how it works.
No, it's the other way around.
We're looking at something that would metaphysically help the team to win a championship.
So if your team doesn't win, then you're not giving your car up. You got to put something on the line.
You do.
You have to say, you got to put something on the line.
I don't have to put nothing on the line.
That is true. You don't have to, because you're just talking. You're like a lot of fans, you're just talking.
It's just like Mike Vrabel said, he would gladly chop off his manhood to win the Super Bowl. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you do that beforehand, so it tips the earth, as he says.
Right, now you're taking a big risk. If the guy comes down and actually communicates that to Mike Vrabel, all right, let me see. What would he do?
Mike, that's that mystical, magical power that you're talking about.
Well, it is. And that either you believe it exists or it doesn't exist. Now, I believed it with Nick Foles started to get me to believe it. To be honest with you.
Somebody did something with that. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, right, but I'm glad it did. Sixer fan. Thank you, sir.
All right, you got it. Actually, in Game of Thrones.
Too soon.
There were two particular situations where the variable thing did happen.
So you couldn't say that.
It had nothing to do with the plot.
It actually
there were two people.
It's vital to the plot.
It's not vital to the plot at all.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
One was the eunuch from the jump, and then the other was punished by Ramsay. And then they sent it to the father in a box, which was that was a little harsh.
That's a stiff one. That's stiff. That's tough. That's a cold shot.
Yeah,
send it to your pop like that. That's a cold shot.
Theon Greyjoy.
That's a cold shot.
Yeah. All right. 610-632-0975. Jason in Coatesville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
What's up, Jace?
Not much. I was calling. Actually, I'm surprised that no one's brought it up yet, but at the press conference today, Tobias is talking about Ben's game and his jump shot, hitting two threes in a row, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard
about that.
I heard that he was playing him on. He was playing him one on one, and he went out to guard him at the 3-point line.
And he talked about his willingness
because he had made a couple, and then he had to go out and guard him from there.
Yeah,
yeah. Do we have that sound? Tobias said I heard that today on the station, so it's around somewhere. So did that encourage you, Jason?
I feel encouraged by it. He says his willingness to shoot the jumper now is there, and yeah. I guess I got to take his word for it. Tobias is a pretty solid guy, but
yeah, you know. It does nothing for me. Really, like anything that is done on a practice floor, like a one-on-one game, unless it's a 5-on-5 game, and I get a report that he's shooting jump shots from all over the lot. Then yeah. I wait till the season starts. Nothing that he can do off the during summer workouts will convince me that he's going to be able to pull the trigger.
Well, just hearing it from someone actually in the organization
mm-hmm.
saying he has willingness to do it is a step in the right direction. Anyway,
yeah, all right, man, okay. I'm a harder sell, Jason.
All right, so how about our possible chances of getting both Korver and Iguodala? I'm not sure if Iguodala signed anywhere.
I don't think the chances are good at getting both of them. Iguodala is, he was traded to the Grizzlies, so you have to trade for Iguodala.
Okay. I figure we'll get D-Jax a ring this year. We could bring those guys back and get them one, too.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right,
Jason. So there you go. I forgot about that little Tobias report on Ben. He was noticed that he went out to challenge him at the 3-point line to defend him. And he said he did it because Ben had made a couple.
Ah, there you go.
There's no evidence of that other than what Tobias said.
Well, I don't think he'd say that just to say it, right? He wouldn't fan the flames, would he?
Maybe. He would say it just to say it.
I don't
know. Make everybody else feel better.
No.
Well, we'll try to get the sound. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb it. A couple open lines. A good time to get in. It's a Friday. We're loose. If you're headed to the shore, pick up the phone. Talk about anything you want to talk about. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's time to get an update on our Twitter poll, which we've got going today. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. This is Miss Natalie.
Thank you, Mike. Today's Twitter poll has over 1,500 votes on it so far. Do you think the Phillies have a real chance to make the playoffs? This is Twitter poll number one.
Mm-hmm.
56% say yes, 44% say no. And Twitter poll number two, would you sacrifice something, your hair, your car, for a year, a tattoo, to help your favorite team win a title? 64% say yes, 36% say no. So wow. You're the odd man out on that one, Mike.
Yeah, listen, it's up to them to do for me, the way I look at it. I'm not facing my body to get a championship.
You wouldn't do.
It's already their responsibility to provide me with a championship.
You wouldn't sacrifice anything. I know. How about red sauce for a year? Meatballs for a year. Would you give up meatballs for a year for a championship?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I would do that. I mean,
that's a lot.
No Italian food for a year.
For 4 titles. What would you do for 4 titles? So we get a 2020.
I could easily give up any kind of food. That's not a big deal.
See?
I would
tattoo myself or cut off my toenail or something like that.
If you get a title in February, you get a parade. You get 2 in June and then 1 in October in 2020. So from that October parade for 1 year, you had to be vegetarian. Would you do it? No meat at all. 1 year. You get 4 titles. 4 for 4. 4 parades. Vegetarian full year.
Yeah.
All right. So see? You do something.
You would sacrifice.
You would sacrifice.
Yeah, but it, like food is to me not a sacrifice. It's like, you know.
All right, here it is.
Would you drive? Would you drive?
I don't have enough food to say. You know, because I can make do with vegetarian for a year. Indian style.
Would you rollerblade to work every day for a year?
Yeah, you go. Rollerblade to work.
Would I rollerblade to work?
Yeah, you get four titles now. You get four, not one. Four titles. See, that's a lot.
I'm a little too old to be rollerblading to work every day.
All right, how about
that would be too much of a physical strain.
All right, Segway or electric scooter?
I'm not a great rollerblader.
All right, there you go. Right.
How about a Segway or an electric scooter?
So it's just time-consuming, yeah. Just not.
A Segway or a scooter?
Yeah.
Can you picture Mike on a Segway?
Yeah.
I can do the Segway. What's wrong with that?
I just couldn't imagine cool. You on it.
Me
you
either.
Have to wear the helmet.
I know.
Bad weather.
Oh, look, here comes Mike right up St. Asaph's
right.
Road.
But you get it. You get four titles.
I take
it.
A little scooter. I get a little Vespa.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Be rough in the snow, but yeah.
Yeah. Take a Vespa. I don't live that far from here.
That's what I mean. You're pretty close.
All right, let's go, John in Northeast. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, John?
Man, nothing. Just talk, I guess, Flyers. No, it's too early to even talk about that for hockey in this city, especially now you got
to... Well, no, it's not too early to ask whether you're optimistic about what's going to happen. Like, you know, we can talk about the Sixers being optimistic. What do you think of the Flyers' direction right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, after yesterday, I tell you, it's a step in the right direction. I think after Fletcher's hiring... They're doing well, I think. Put it this way. The caller before me was talking about St. Louis and talent. Flyers have more talent than St. Louis. The goalie they won the cup with, he was a fourth stringer. And they were in last place, I think, come January. St. Louis probably won't see another cup in our lifetime. And right now, I think they're in the right direction. That's such a long season.
What has Fletcher done that's impressed you?
Not the one trade, the defenseman. With that, when we made the trade, what's the gentleman's name? We traded him to the Capitals.
Gudas?
Yeah, Gudas, thank you.
For Niskanen.
When we made that trade, the guy in Washington Post, or email, whatnot, he said, thank you, you just saved us $9 million on our cap, because we also, trading him, we're still paying 30% of his contract. But that guy Vigneault, the new coach, he's a good coach. He might not have won anything, but he's been with good teams. You know, the one caller was right though. He said you needed a little change, and that's what the Flyers are doing. And you can see that now.
The change and the direction is satisfactory to you.
My sense, a positive sense.
It's a positive
like you
thing.
You said.
That's why I'm asking the question. I want to know how Flyer fans feel about it. Now,
I just wanted to. You're right, though, when you were saying they're missing a sniper, per se, or like a real good goal scorer.
You know? I don't get the impression that the majority of Flyer fans feel like that Flyer fan. So that's why I asked the question. Objectively, what has Chuck Fletcher done that you take note of? That you go, yeah, I think they're making the necessary change. Chuck Fletcher's in charge of your organization. I think we're all good now. Like, what have you seen that would give you that kind of a conclusion? Anything?
Yeah, I can't have blind faith. They did get some veteran defensemen. The pairings may be better. You might be able to mix and match better defensively. They got a decent second line center.
The guy was alluding to the fact that he's in charge now. Holmgren's not in charge, and that's a good thing.
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe it is, but I don't think we have any evidence of that yet. And Holmgren's still going to be around. It's not like these guys aren't going to be around.
Well, that's allowed. Oh, I have the Harris thing that you were looking for.
Oh, yeah, Tobias? Talking about Ben?
Yeah.
All right, that's the Sixer fans. Be on alert here. Here's the big Tobias comment on Ben's three-point shooting.
He's in the gym religiously every day, grinding and getting better. He's in great shape. Everybody was trying to figure out why I was guarding him at the three-point line. It was really because he hit two of them, two when I dared him to shoot two of them, he hit two in a row. So that's why I was there. But he was he's made big improvements on his game. His jump shot looking really good. He has the confidence to shoot it. And I just kept telling him there, like, you know, even in these workouts where you're playing, have the confidence to shoot them and don't get discouraged if you miss. This is where you build that type of confidence. So it was a good sight to see how hard he's been working. And he looks really good for a great year. But he's in the gym.
Well, there you go. Tyrone, what's that do for you?
Well, I'm still consistent. I believe in hiring an instructor matters. You said it didn't matter.
Tobias's words there, what did that specifically do for you?
To me, it reinforced that he realized it was a problem and is working to rectify the problem. That's all it is for me.
Okay.
Last season, he didn't hire a shooting coach. This year he did, which means he knows. You know what? That's step one, is recognizing it. He's done that part. Now we got to wait for the games, but I believe he's going to shoot more because I think he knows he has to. I don't know if he's going to make them, though. Not there.
So hype.
I think, and if
that
he
got
does,
you a little bit.
That
go,
that totally
see,
got
Tobias
me.
Tobias got you totally.
Yeah, I'm sold. I'm sold that he's at least going to attempt. If he's hearing that from his teammates saying, you know, this is how you build your confidence, at least shoot them. I think he's going to be more inclined this year to at least shoot them like Ty has been talking about than not shoot. Based off of what he just said. I'm in.
Okay. I'm not.
Well, yeah, of course you're not.
It sounded really nice. But it's not like, boy, we've been scrimmaging up and down and he's just killing it and shooting jump shots all the time. That's not what I'm hearing.
Baby
and
steps, it's July.
Until I hear that, words mean nothing to me.
So July.
Until I see actual NBA game that he does it, I don't care what he's doing here or there.
Patience is
right,
a virtue.
But that's the difference, Mike. It's very easy to say, all right, I'll just wait for the game. It actually takes something else to project. That's what people get paid to do, is
it's
project.
It's not the first time that Ben Simmons has been told that by somebody.
It's the first time he's hired a shooting instructor. That's never happened before. That's new. I have new evidence, so I'm reacting to new evidence. That's new. He worked with his brother, half behind in the gym. He worked on his body, but he didn't work on his game enough last summer. This year, he's having a different approach. I have new information based on that.
Okay. All right. I got it.
But and you're going to wait till Halloween. You're going to wait till Halloween.
I'm going to wait until at least Halloween.
See, I'm ready.
Right?
Late.
So, like,
see,
these reports, late. Tobias Harris can come in and say the same things five times in a row. It wouldn't have any effect on me. I need to see it live and in person. I'm just that type of guy, Tyrone.
It's coming. Get excited. Get excited.
I don't blindly believe until I see.
Well,
I see a miracle, I believe in it. I haven't seen a miracle.
Well, that's fine, Mike. I'm going to project and then feel good about my projections. He's going to shoot the ball. I don't know if he's going to make them.
Okay.
He's going to shoot it.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.5 The Fanatic.
3:46, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Let's play the game. Where in the world is Tyrone?
What game is that?
It's a new game I just invented. Based on an inner office email that we just got on three events that are available for us to go to.
Oh, I didn't see it.
So we're playing Where in the World is Tyrone? Which one of these events would we see Tyrone at? Event number one. Saturday, 8 p.m., Rob Thomas at the Met. Number two, Sunday, 7 p.m. at the BB&T Pavilion. Third Eye Blind and Jimmy Eat World. And Sunday at 6:30 p.m., WWE Extreme Rules at the Wells Fargo Center. Where in the world is Tyrone, Nat? Where do you think?
I'm going to go with option number three, Mike.
WWE Extreme Rules. I know. Are you an Extreme Rule, WWE Extreme Rule guy, Tyrone?
Of those three, yeah.
That's where you would be.
Yeah, like I'm aware of the wrestlers and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Like I have the network for back in the day. I can figure out.
You're pretty up on the wrestling. I feel like you're very knowledgeable about it.
I don't watch it every week or anything, but I'm more aware of that than...
Violation for a brother to be a Rob Thomas at the Met, Third Eye Blind, Jimmy Eat World. At the
I actually like Jimmy Eat World. Like Sweetness is one of my favorite songs. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Eat World's great.
Uh-huh.
Third Eye Blind, though, you can miss me with that. And Rob Thomas... I mean,
you're going Rob Thomas? Girls love him.
Did you like him when he was in Matchbox 20?
I didn't like Matchbox 20. No, I was okay with him. Didn't he had a solo album that was of note, right? What was the song?
Well, the one with Santana.
Yeah.
Although that song actually makes my blood curl.
Well, I'm saying it was a hit.
It was.
I'll be aware of the song.
I worked in a pizza shop when that song was number one.
Oh, so it was on a loop.
And it was on a loop. It was on all the time.
I saw Third Eye Blind when they were Third Eye Blind.
You mean when they were
now? Now they're Third Eye Blinder.
I mean, gotta check my phone.
The Rob Thomas song in
'90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
The Rob Thomas Santana song was smooth.
They're at the Electric Factory. Yeah. It was actually pretty good.
Concert. Yeah. Like I guess I could see if I could go to the bar and then come back to hear Semi Charmed Life and How's It Gonna Be.
Yeah.
That Jumper.
Nah.
I like Jumper.
That was a good song. Every song of that CD was great.
Then I leave. I hear Sweetness. Nah.
Hear you me?
Nah, I'm going to go to, I'm going to Extreme Rules.
All right. Might there be some Nougat Brothers, Rob Thomas, Third Eye Blind?
Yeah, with girls.
All right, let's go to Vicente. What's going on, Vicente?
Hola, Mikey Miss, ¿cómo estás?
Hola, Vicente.
How you doing for this weekend?
How you doing?
Much better, because I had an accident last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was commuting back home, and we're set to bike. Somebody rear-ended me.
Oh, no, Vicente.
Yeah, I ended up in Lankano Hospital just to make sure that I didn't have anything rotten, you know, broken in there.
And you're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, no injuries, but soreness of my back muscles and spans.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't have to go to work today because that, you know.
I'm gonna get emails from 17 attorneys now.
Oh, my God. No, I just got a rented car, and I've been trying to coordinate, you know, the body shop. And,
uh-huh. It's a pain in the butt when you get in an accident, isn't it?
But, yeah, I know. But, you know, I was wearing my seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
And, when my truck opened up at the door, I put my safety hard hat, my reflective vest, and I have it prepared, you know, because I was in the highway.
Right.
But I pull up in the shoulder and I exchange documentation with the lady. The lady says, come in here because it's raining. She was invited inside her car.
Situation between you and the woman that hit you.
Exactly, but yeah. I politely declined, and I said, no, I'm fine with the rain, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then when I bent down to get her papers, I start feeling the sharp pain. So I told her, you know, and she said, no, you're fine. I just saw you walking out of the car and taking a look, and you're fine. I said, are you a doctor? Oh, close enough, I'm a nurse, she said.
Oh. Go get yourself checked out.
Yeah, so I went to the Mackinac Hospital and I got home by midnight.
Yes.
So I'm now ready. You know, I feel like...
Well, you take it easy this weekend. You take it easy this weekend.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, but I'm going to see tomorrow Danny Harrison opening for Jeff Lynne and Electric Light Orchestra at the Wells Fargo.
Oh, ELO, huh?
Yeah, man.
There you go.
And I went to see my idol, too, one of my idols, on Wednesday night at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It was Gilbert O'Sullivan, the Irishman, British guy.
Yeah.
You know, he was singing the hit from 1972, 73. Remember Alone Again?
Oh, sure.
Naturally.
Alone Again, Naturally.
Like that was the, I told uh-huh. him, that was the first 45 records I ever bought.
Well, look at that.
My mother gave me a turntable. So I told him the Beatles music and his music inspired me to learn English because I couldn't understand a word except for Alone Again, the title.
So what were you going to talk about to Sean Jackson?
Okay.
What were you going to say about him?
All right. He was practicing at the basketball court and then the football field with Kyle Kuzma from the Lakers, the forward.
Yeah, we heard that we had a report on that a little earlier.
Right. So now the connection is that the Lakers and the Sixers are going to meet in the, you know, maybe in the finals. And so who is the Sean Jackson going to root? You know,
Sean's probably a guy. He's got to go where the heart is, home.
Yeah.
Probably a Laker fan. Yeah, I got you. Hey, Vicente, nice hearing from you. Tómalo con calma. Tómalo con calma.
Gracias, amigo.
All right. All right, buddy. All right, that's Vicente. Tell us the whole life story.
Poor guy.
You know, you get in an accident, it's hard to be civil, isn't it? Are you civil when they're like in car accidents, or are you outraged?
Outraged.
You're outraged.
I'm generally crying.
You're generally crying?
Yeah, I don't like, I mean, yeah, no. I get very upset.
It's hard, you know, I see a lot of people do it, though. They get in an accident and they care about each other and the whole bit. Somebody's at fault in an accident, normally, you know?
Yes.
So if you're the one that caused the accident, you're in denial. And if you're not the one that caused the accident, you're angry.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Westbrook's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Brian about Mike Vrabel and what Brian would do to win the championship. Mike Missinelli Show right after this. Back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.